Well, we're in a series called Summer Breeze. We're using the word summer breeze to think about life with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, the Bible talks about there being a sound of a rushing mighty wind. And we're just talking about breeze in the sense of life with the Holy Spirit. For our review, we learn from Jesus in John chapter 3 that the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So that life with the Holy Spirit, that's what we're talking about. And it has to start with the new birth experience that Jesus talked about and that he described to Nicodemus. And so the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual life. In Ephesians 5, we are encouraged to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time thing that you were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a lifestyle of being filled. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we are filled, that's going to lead to an exuberant life of singing and praising and thanking God and just having this sort of overflow of the joy of the Lord in our life. And that's a part of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked about the Holy Spirit is not referred to as it, but as he, because he is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity, proceeding from the Father and the Son. And today, we're going to talk about that a little more when we get into his personality, okay? But he is a person. Secondly, he is our paraclete, which means guide, counselor, comforter, teacher, advocate, and helper. He advocates for us, and he also advocates through us. We are witnesses for Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he is our paraclete. And then we receive power to be witnesses for Jesus when we receive the Holy Spirit. And we need his power. And I've sensed his power yesterday, but it's not just for those kinds of days. It's for every day that we can be witnesses for him in whatever situation you find yourself in. As you are being filled with the Holy Spirit, he is giving you the power to be a witness for Jesus. So I've said that I want you to not just learn about the Holy Spirit, but to experience true friendship with the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk a little bit today about his personality. It kind of feeds into whether or not you want to be friends with somebody, is what kind of personality do they have? And so let's just look a little bit, see what some of the scriptures say about the Holy Spirit's personality. So the first thing we're going to look at is that he is patient. The Holy Spirit is patient. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, first two verses of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So what I see in this is the trait of he is patient. That description of the Spirit hovering over the waters is similar to, the word is similar to a mother hen brooding over her chicks. It is not passive. It is an active, patient hovering over the situation. And in Genesis, what the Spirit was doing was hovering over the deep, moving to prepare the atmosphere for the effectual, creative Word of God. And then when the Word of God came forth and said, "Let there be light," it was there, because the Spirit of God had been hovering and preparing. And the Holy Spirit is actively, patiently at work in each of our lives. Doing what? Preparing our hearts to receive the living, active, creative Word of God. making us able to respond and allow that creative power to make us new, transformed people. We are new creations. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind, and that patient work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts is a part of what makes that possible and helps us be prepared to respond when the creative word of God, it comes to us. So he's patient. He's polite. He is very powerful. We talked about that last week. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that's the power of the Spirit that was within us. But he is never out of control. So there's a saying that you may have heard preached in some sermon somewhere, and my guess is you have, that says this: the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. So that phrase is not found anywhere in the scripture. If you go to look for the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, you're not going to find that written out in the scripture. And the truth is, the definition of gentleman could change from time to time, or from culture to culture, or from family to family. What is a gentleman? All right? But here's what is true. If you looking through the entire scripture about the Holy Spirit, he does not force his way, but he is powerfully persistent in wooing us to himself and to Jesus. He is not somebody to be intimidated by. He's powerful, but he's polite. He's not somebody that to be nervous because of the power he has, because he doesn't ever just force his way. All right? So I'm not wanting to claim a thing that the scripture doesn't say, but when you look through the whole of scripture, he is polite and doesn't force. And that leads to the next thing, which is that he is particular. And what do I mean by that? Let's look at a couple of verses. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 30. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. So what do I mean when I say the word particular? I'm saying that he has feelings that are a part of his personality. He can be made sorrowful. He can be quenched or stifled. He has that about him. It matters how we treat him. Okay? And we are instructed in the scripture, don't grieve him. Don't make him sorrowful. How does it say we could make him sorrowful? By the way we live. So we are instructed, the Holy Spirit cares and can be made sorrowful. Don't do that. Don't make him sorrowful by the way you live. And don't stifle him. If you know that he's wooing you towards something, if you know that he's convicting you of something, or wanting to guide you, teach you, counsel you, allow him to do that. Don't stifle his work. So it does matter how we treat him. He is particular. Next, he's personable. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So fellowship, this word fellowship with the Holy Spirit means close mutual association and participation. And actually, this is the essence of Christian life: fellowship with God and fellowship with each other. And he is personable. He likes binding us together. He likes getting people together and creating this koinonia. Is the word in the scripture for that fellowship. It is a very unique characteristic of the body of Christ that the Holy Spirit gives us, and it's one of his favorite things to do. He likes to get us together. The church is described as having the unity of the Spirit, the bond of the Spirit. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. He is really good at getting people together, helping them form meaningful friendships, binding our hearts together. He's personable. He's the one that you want going with you to the party so that you can have more easy conversation, because he's good at helping bring people together. All right? So he's personable. He's perceptive. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And in 1 Corinthians 2:10, it says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. The Holy Spirit is perceptive. He knows the will of God, and he knows our hearts. He gets you. He gets you. Okay? He is full of insight and wisdom. And I want you to listen. You'll never get a deer in the headlights look from the Holy Spirit. All right? He's always spot on. He's able to read between the lines. He understands what we really need, when half the time we don't, but he does. And he will pray and help us actually get it. He is perceptive. So these last three points come from one passage, and it is this. In Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So first off, the Holy Spirit is pure. So when we enter the kingdom of God through this spiritual birth, being born of the Spirit, having this new life, this verse in Romans tells us what that's like in the kingdom, and one of the first things is goodness or righteousness, and that is one of the traits of the Holy Spirit. He is pure. There is no shadowy side to the Holy Spirit. There is no flaw in his integrity or a weakness in his character. He is 100% pure. He is fully good, altogether righteous, completely pure. Now listen, our standing before God is settled when we receive Jesus as our Savior. That verse that we read earlier, it is the Spirit that has promised and guaranteed us that we will be saved on the last day. We have the Spirit. Every one of us has the Spirit dwelling within us when we have had that spiritual birth. When we receive new life, the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. All right? Our righteousness before God is settled because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He has made us, he became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. But even though that is true, that we are justified, cleansed, and righteous in his sight, there are times we don't live out righteousness. But as we allow the Spirit of God to fill us, he is completely pure. And that righteousness begins to grow within us. All right? So the Holy Spirit, part of the kingdom life that we read in Romans, full of goodness, that's a part of what it is from this character of the Holy Spirit. He is pure. He is peaceful. He actually exudes peace. Like when he's around, peace just keeps going out. When you've been in the presence of God, like in a worship service like we had today, or in your own personal time with the Lord, there is a tangible sense of the peace of God, and that is from the Holy Spirit. The scripture speaks of a peace that is beyond understanding. And that's what the peace of the Holy Spirit is like. It doesn't necessarily make sense, and yet you know that after spending time with the Holy Spirit, troubled emotions are calmed, anxieties are lessened. Maybe the fearful circumstance hasn't changed yet. And yet all of a sudden you're able to just face it with peace. I don't know if you've experienced that, but I want it for all of you. You know something's hanging out there that it was every time you thought about it. Either your chest tightens or the butterflies in the stomach starts or something is going on and there's that anxiety. And then you have a moment with God, a word from God that speaks that peace into you that's beyond understanding, and the circumstance is still there. It didn't change. It's still happening. And yet all of a sudden, your response to it is different. I experienced this once, and it was a total word from God. There was a situation going on that every time I was confronted with it, I had a physical response that was shaking uncontrollably. I just couldn't stop because the anxiety was so high. And I knew that I was going to have to be in a setting with this situation coming up on a certain night. And that morning I was reading the scripture, and the word of God said, it was in Psalms chapter 30, and it says, I sought you, O God, and you heard me and you healed me. And I felt the healing power of God immediately just boom into my being when I read that scripture. And I said, okay, I receive it. I need it. And guess what? The circumstance didn't change. I still had to go into that meeting. I had to be confronted with the situation, but the healing of God was on me. I did not, and I haven't ever had that response. And that was over 25 years ago. But that healing came to me. The circumstance didn't change, but the peace of God was suddenly just ruling in my life. And I didn't have to have that same anxiety. The Holy Spirit is peaceful, and he wants to share that part of his personality with you. And finally, he is positively joyful. He is full of joy. And life with the Holy Spirit needs to be one of joy. It is one of joy. Continuous, bubbly, overflowing, effervescent, supernatural, makes you smile, joy. Makes you smile, joy. That kind of joy. Jesus himself was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit in Luke 10:21. And the disciples expressed his joy when they came back. They said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. And he was like, oh, yes, that's joyous, but don't just rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The disciples experienced the joy. The early church rejoiced in their suffering even. Paul and Silas are singing in prison. The people, when Peter and John came back from prison and they were having the prayer meeting, they're saying, oh God, thank you that we're worthy to suffer for your name. And they're just having a joyous prayer meeting in the middle of their suffering. Oh, thank you, God, for this wonderful opportunity to get beaten up. How many are ready to pray that prayer? How many want that kind of joy of the Holy Spirit in your life? I don't want you getting beaten up. But what if you were? Can you have the joy of the Holy Spirit in your life that allows that kind of response? Okay? 2,000 years later, the Holy Spirit has not run out of joy. All right? He didn't use it all up in the book of Acts. It's still available here for us. And the being in the kingdom of God is a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is a part of the personality of the Holy Spirit, is that he is full of joy. Now, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit is what takes place in us as we allow the Spirit to be have full sway and working in us. But guess what? The fruit is a result of his personality. It's the Spirit's personality that comes out in that fruit and shines through. So the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. It's coming from the personality of the Holy Spirit, who is patient, polite, particular, perceptive, personable, pure, peaceful, and positively joyous. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. With a personality like he's got, is it any wonder? When you have somebody like the Holy Spirit in the middle of what you're doing, there's going to be freedom there, because he just exudes all of this amazing personality that he's got. When your advocate is pure, your teacher is polite, your guide is patient, your comforter is peaceful, your counselor is personable and perceptive, and your helper is positive. Wow. We want to be like the Holy Spirit. We want these things in our lives. When you think about it, nobody really wants to be a frowny face. Nobody wants to be weak or clueless. We are given all of these amazing traits in our best friend, our advocate, our counselor, our helper, the Holy Spirit. And every one of us, as I said, has the Spirit of God in us, living in us when we accept Jesus in our heart. This is what Jesus himself said. This is what the New Testament teaches throughout the rest of the scripture, that the Spirit of God is now in you. Life with the Holy Spirit really is like a summer breeze. Refreshing, soothing, and free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I want us to all experience that freedom in him. I don't want any past baggage that you've had regarding the Holy Spirit to make you not comfortable talking about him. When I was growing up, you didn't usually say Holy Spirit, you said Holy Ghost. And that had its own little repercussions with it, because it's like whatever culture called a ghost, kind of came in your mind. I want you to learn that the Holy Spirit is your friend. He is somebody that is with you in all circumstances. His personality is a very winning personality. He has all wonderfully positive traits about him, and he is never going to force himself, but as soon as you are welcoming to him, he is just there. He is ready. He's patient. He's patient. He's persistent. And he's available to us. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here with us. Thank you for being so good. Thank you for being so patient with us, so willing to share all your goodness with us, our paraclete. And I pray for every person here that if there's ever been something that makes them feel a little bit shy about their relationship with you or growing close to you, that we would understand the amazing personality you have, that it's nothing, you have no dark side. You are all good. You are pure. You are peaceful. You are joyous. And I pray for that kind of peace and joy that actually the world is craving for. If we could only have true peace, if we could only have real joy, and that love that Jesus has for us, that he said, it's good for you that I go back to the Father so that I can send you the Holy Spirit. He loves us so much, and now he's here with us. Help us to receive that, Lord. I pray that like a summer breeze, that you would blow through this place with the refreshing of your Spirit, that we would know your peace in circumstances that may not change, and yet we can still go forward in peace, trusting you until the change comes, that we can live in joy, even if it's in the middle of getting beat up for you, that we could actually have your joy. And Lord, I don't think any of us have had to do that and get beat up for you. So help us to have joy in whatever circumstances we do find ourselves in. Thank you, Lord.